720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon, Philly, or excuse me, Jesmeralda. I already messed that up.
It also reminds me of, what's that show with the Barbies?
What?
Jam? No.
With the Barbies?
They look like Barbies.
312-981-7200.
They turn into Jem. Jeez.
I've never heard of Jem.
What? You haven't heard of Jem?
No, but Jem works for us too.
What?
Roger, what's Jem?
It's a cartoon program. I think they were singers in a band together. It was kind of like a takeoff, a fancy glittery version of Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes.
But it was Gems, and there was a whole line of dolls that came out. This was back...
Was it Saturday morning cartoons
80s.
You would watch?
80s, you think?
Yeah, 80s.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch much cartoons.
It was this one girl, and her dad made this machine that could turn people into rock stars.
Yeah. Really?
I think it did other things. But then she had all these friends, and they all got together, and then they turned into Jem.
Okay.
Because her dad also owned a recording company.
Okay.
I don't know names of
right.
things. I've never heard of it. And so in order to save it, she becomes Jem, and then they're on the label.
Isn't it spelled G-E-M-Z?
No, it's just
Are you
Jem.
Sure?
Roger, what do you know about all this stuff?
J-E-M. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Were you a cartoon watcher in the 80s?
I love Saturday mornings. Are you kidding?
But Roger, and not to date you, but you weren't quite at the cartoon watching age in the 80s.
Our daughter was born in 78.
Little girls.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
No.
Police.
Oh.
Wow.
He's got you.
I got a police from Roger. By the way, Roger, that picture of you that you posted on Facebook today or that someone else shared of you
is
the most 70s thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Or maybe that was even before then. But it is an absolute... I want you to pull this up, Esmeralda, and all the viewers, too. Maybe we could post it. But yeah, it's Roger, and it's, you know, it's this old headshot thing that's going around.
Hold on. We've got a correction.
Okay.
Right. Jem and the Holograms.
Right.
Okay.
That was the name of the group.
Corrected us.
That was the name of the group, but the show is just called Jem.
J-E-M.
J-E-M. Like John and Esmeralda. That's what
if it was J-E-M-Z, it'd be Jems.
All
right, so the picture.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my...
Yes.
Are you just seeing that for the first time?
Yes. Why does your mustache match your eyebrows?
Yes.
Like, in both...
I had more hair back then than I do now.
You had a lot of hair on your face.
Yeah, I know I did.
So just backing up a second.
That was a waxed handlebar mustache.
Oh,
what do you mean waxed?
I used put a little wax in
mustache
it.
Mustache wax. You've never seen...
No,
it was a fake
I'm
wax
there now.
Mustache.
I was wondering if you waxed your mustache and put a fake one on or something.
No. That to keep it straight or to even start curling.
Right.
There's a special little tube with mustache wax and comes with a little comb for your little mustache.
I'm just going to say it. You look like a porn star in this photo. What year was this from, Roger?
1974.
Yeah, this is the most 70s. If anyone says 1970s, this is the men. This is the image I think of.
Did you just pour wax all over yourself and then mold your hair and your mustache?
The eyebrows were just on there. I didn't do anything with them.
Wow.
But my hair, I actually blow dried.
Okay.
I blow dried that. Yeah, I would spend about a half an hour.
Half an hour?
Yeah.
On your hair?
Straightening it out.
Every day?
So it's naturally curly.
Not really naturally curly.
So what were you doing with it?
Well, I just wanted to make sure it looked good.
It looks good.
I had to impress the girls.
Well, this really leads into the
or
what we learned last week.
Whoever you're staring off into.
Or, you know, whoever you're just moving in with, which is what we learned the last time we were together, where you just walked in and moved in with someone.
And or suffocating.
I'm Roger Badish, and I'm moving in with you. Jess is looking at me like, what's going on? We learned last time we were together in for Plyer that Roger just made his move on some girl he was kind of seeing by just moving in with her without her knowing. Yeah.
And then she was like, you need to go.
You got to go. Right, dude, you're living here.
It lasted about a month, maybe.
It's an incredible mustache, though, Roger, that you had. Could you bring that back in any way?
You know what? The hair follicles are not as productive as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're
still pretty good. Yeah.
Well, they're pretty good on the bottom.
I do keep the mustache and the beard trimmed.
Right.
I don't like it. I don't mind if it grows large, like if I wanted to become
Santa Claus,
for the winter,
right,
you know,
right.
which I could.
Right.
But, But I just, I don't know. I just don't like the feel of it that full,
Roger,
necessarily.
I'll pay you $100.
Oh, my God.
Which is not very much, I understand.
How long would it take to get to this level mustache?
Oh, it would take me a while.
You know what you should do? You should do it for Movember.
Because that mustache was at least a year's worth there.
It's incredible.
Roger, yeah. You have to do this for Movember.
Yeah, but I have to shave it first then.
Right.
You got to shave it in November and don't grow the beard, just the mustache.
Right. And do it from November and raise some money.
Shave the beard. Okay. Yeah, I want to see. No,
I hate shaving. That's why I have a beard.
No. Okay, but this would be for charity.
I know. This is for charity, Roger. Do it for charity.
Roger, like,
but I don't. Nick does it, and I don't want to intrude on Nick's fundraiser.
Everyone does it. The whole country does it.
Yeah, I know.
It's charity, Roger.
I consider that to be Nick's thing.
Yes, the excuse of, well, other people are doing it doesn't work with charity. I don't want to intrude on this person's charity by
giving.
Being charitable. Roger, it looks like an animal is living on your face. I can't get over this picture.
I think it would be amazing if both, because then it would be both you and Nick doing the Movember.
It's like an ocelot just planted itself underneath your nose.
I was expecting that after this picture was taken, it just ran away.
So my
ran away from your face.
It's got scared by the flash. Yes. So my dad has a mustache. He still has it. It's very 70s. It's very dad, but it's nothing like this.
My dad has he doesn't have one now. I don't remember.
Did he have one?
He usually used to when I was growing up, and then he shaved it, and then it looked like a 10-year-old boy. It was the weirdest thing.
Were girls okay with you kissing you with this mustache? I feel like they'd get lost in you in this thing.
Yeah, how did the wax?
I spent too much time at the radio station. I didn't. Not until my senior year did I start moving in with women.
Yes.
And you didn't have the mustache then?
Right.
Yeah, the mustache came along, sure.
Oh, okay.
It's incredible, Roger.
It is great.
But the only problem was, with the mustache wax, it's highly soluble in liquids.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had, for drinking coffee or drinks, but especially coffee, I had special mustache mugs.
Okay.
So there was...
What?
So you know how a regular, look at his cup there, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so John's holding
a mug.
A regular mug. All right, a regular cup. So on one edge, there would be an oval line of ceramic or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Coming around from the edge, which would supposedly go under the mustache when you would drink, so that you wouldn't get any liquid on the mustache, because then the mustache wax would dissolve and the mustache would just collapse.
We need to, you know what? Oh, you know what would be fun? I want people to send in their pictures of their mustaches.
Yeah, how do we get people to do that?
And beat Roger.
Yeah, if you can
beat
there's
beat
tons
Roger?
Of better mustaches out there.
Yeah, but now, now.
Look up Jerry Colonna. He's not around anymore, obviously, but... look up Jerry Colonna.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had a mustache.
No, I'm not denying that there's many people in the history of the world that have better mustaches than yours.
Yeah. Did you find food from like weeks before in this thing? Really? People could get lost in this thing, let alone crumbs. It's incredible. And you got the tie, you got the really big knotted tie.
Yeah, well, that was the thing
this
back then.
This is the most 70 thing.
By the way,
seen.
I am seeing mugs that do have that piece of ceramic.
They're mustache mugs.
312-981-7200. You can text.
Oh, you can.
You can text in pictures.
Yeah.
People know how to do that, right?
So now if they want to see comparison, they have to go to either of my Facebook pages, my regular one, Roger Battish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or the fans of Roger Battish that one of our friends up in Minneapolis put together for me.
I'll tweet it out.
It's
on
hit
Instagram.
Like.
It's on my Instagram page too, I think.
Yeah. I'll tweet this out at John J.O.
Okay.
Is it on your Pokemon Go page as well?
I don't do Pokemon Go anymore. Oh, my God.
Look at
I don't know. That's like long gone. I've gone through therapy and everything.
He's trendy. Do you see this? You see how trendy Roger is? Second Pokemon goes over, he's like, yeah, I'm done.
Also, your eyebrows are connected in this photo.
Well,
I will say.
And I've always had that problem.
Really?
I actually have. It's and I remember trying to look up grooming tips in college.
Do you fix it now? Do you get...
No, I don't.
It's just separated?
It's not separated. It's still... Oh, you can't see.
We can't see. You're too
far
away.
I've got a lot of gray hair now, so it doesn't really look as bad.
Oh.
But it... my eyebrows, yes, they
did grow
across.
How often do you have to shave between them?
You got a little Frida Kahlo thing going.
I kind of clip once in a while, but I don't shave it.
You tweeze? You don't tweeze?
I tweeze.
Yeah.
I tweez.
You're Frito Kahlo-ing it. It's okay.
Yeah, well, you were free as a bird in the 70s.
Yeah,
you let that thing connect.
And surprisingly enough,
mm-hmm.
so that photo is actually from my entry in the SIU Radio and TV Graduate Bulletin mm-hmm. that got sent out to radio and TV stations
yeah.
around the country.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
And so if you can believe this, I know it's going to be hard to understand, mm-hmm. but from that post of mine in that magazine, not one radio and TV director contacted
Ow.
Me for
Ow.
A job.
Wow.
Can you believe
no.
that would have been the perfect WKRP in Cincinnati employee at a radio
yes.
station?
You know what I think, too? You need to smile.
Well,
yeah,
I was trying to be
smiling.
Very serious.
Yeah, you're
you
very serious.
I was trying to be very serious, like a very serious news person.
Oh, right. That's right. You are a newsman.
Yes, and so
he looks like you want to kill whoever's off screen.
Right?
You're just giving
like,
the
just wait
death
till I
stare.
Take this picture.
You know, yeah. But I'll tell you this. I know
take
it's
it.
Been a while.
Take the picture. You see this mustache? This wax doesn't last forever.
The yeah. lights are making it melt.
Oh, did you use
these
anything?
Eyebrows won't be connected forever.
Did you use anything to fluff up the mustache?
No,
I
put the wax
own.
On it and just twisted both ends, kind of like okay. Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah.
And so the wax actually tamed it a little bit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine
actually,
like right first thing in the morning, fresh out of bed mustache.
You look like the Lorax in a way.
It's not that long.
Wow.
It's getting there. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. More of this on 72. WGN, John Hanson Esmeralda in. That's Jezmeralda filling in. And we haven't done it yet for Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Bubala. We're here till 5 in the morning. What's Matt up
we
to?
We haven't
the,
got to
Jess?
Do it.
What's Matt we up to? Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. We've been in for Plyer, yeah. which is a great name. But is Matt going to be back next week, Jess? Or what's he up to these days?
He will be back next weekend.
Okay.
I believe he is out of town with the boys.
Oh that's
that nice.
That's very sweet.
Sports related baseball.
Ooh.
I believe baseball. Right, Raj?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, they got some league games going on around the country.
Oh, they're doing
my.
Some traveling.
Around the country.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a traveling league. Yeah.
What?
You know, yeah. me and the triplets have the same birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know that because
wow.
I saw Matt and his kids. After a Cubs game, I was celebrating on my birthday and was in the bleachers. So you can imagine how much of it I remember, the interaction. It was after the game was over.
And
it was my
Matt.
Birthday, and I felt bad. I was like, oh, I'm eating children?
I mean, they're not little kids, right?
They were
like,
young.
Oh, they're bigger now.
This is a couple years ago, so they might have been 11 or something like that. So they get it. They know what drunk people are. They were in the bleachers, for God's sakes. It's what you expect. We did get a text to the 312-981-7200 of another epic mustache. And it's a good one. It's at a Sox game. And that's great cross promotion, of course.
Yeah.
It's from a tailgate at a Sox game.
And it is waxed up like Rogers.
Right. But it includes the beard, which I think negates
yeah.
from it. We're looking for soul mustaches.
I feel like the beard is adding to the mustache.
Yeah.
Which we just want to see the glory of the mustache.
We want to see the glory of your mustache. 312-91-7200. Maybe not the most radio-centric thing
the
to do.
The glory of your stash?
Let's see the glory of your stash here on this Saturday morning.
Let's
Jess
make
Meralda.
That a thing happen.
Yeah, it was a mustache made for radio.
Right. And Roger, so I found that interesting. Is that what they used to do? You would send this book would go out to...
They still do it, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. SIU, Carbondale, the school, the broadcasting major
mm-hmm.
Was and I think still is one of the top five broadcasting schools in America.
All right.
And
it's got the great radio station too that a lot of
yes,
students come from.
Yeah. Whiz U Radio.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we have I believe 5 or 6 WSIU broadcasting alums here at WGN Radio.
It's like WPGU in Champaign. There's a lot of us
yeah.
that are all over the place.
Okay. So, but one of the things that they did for the seniors was send out this graduate bulletin around the country, and it was divided up by TV and radio, news, programming, sales,
mm-hmm.
Sports, whatever. Whatever you wanted to go into, that's the category you went into, and you could fill out your own little description there.
Yeah, because I saw you were interested maybe in an AM station or a jazz station or something like that.
This was back in the day when that's what I was doing on Wiz U Radio.
Would PDs actually look through this and then hire people or at least give them a call based on their stash? Or?
Well, with...
At least
that's a pretty good looking stash. It'll fit in great with our staff here.
I mean, if his didn't get anywhere, could you imagine the ones that did?
Right, yeah.
So this was the original Facebook, essentially.
Yeah.
So this is your first Facebook photo, essentially.
Yeah, it was. That's
golden. Pretty cool. We haven't even gotten to your hair yet. I can't even see your ears, Roger, in this
thing. I know.
Thing.
Well, like I said, I think when I wasn't quaffing it, I would just like comb it back.
Okay.
And just, you know, just out of the way. And it wasn't an everyday thing, but I did have a full head of hair like that. And and I sometimes miss it, even though I am one with my baldness now.
I was going to say, I was wondering if you were okay
with
that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah. I'm fine. My dad was bald, so I got used to it for a long, long time. Now, his excuse was, because he served in World War II and the Korean War, his excuse was that he stood up once when missiles were coming by, and one got too close and just kind of shaved off the top of his head. So that was his excuse.
It's a good one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and for a couple of years, when I was too young to know any better, I believed him, and then when I got older, I just laughed a lot. But so I got used to it, and he used to wear, for many years, he wore a toupee, and then he wore a toupee with a goatee.
Yeah.
A toupee goatee?
No. It was the toupee, and then he grew the...
He grew it,
I was going to say. I was like, wow.
It wasn't like one of those beards you see at St. Patrick's Day, where like it attaches down the side.
Right. Yes. Right. Like the one that I've got and have worn off.
Right. Speaking of missiles, a Tomahawk missile could not have ripped off this mustache of yours if it was zipping by your face.
It would have stopped the missile.
It would have stopped and said, that's pretty cool.
The missile would, or the mustache would grow arms, grab the missile.
Yeah, right.
Yes. This is an anti-missile defense system.
Wrestle it to the ground.
This thing stops wars.
Wow.
Who needs Mike Pompeo? We could just send in Roger's stash to North Korea to solve this thing. We got to take a break, and then we got to do the news. Yeah, okay. We're a little bit behind because of Roger's stash.
Well, it's Matt Bubala's show. Don't worry about it.
I was going to say, normally times when if we fill in for Patty and I drive home listening to Matt, they don't even get to the first commercial break by the time I'm home.
Oh, my.
So we were a little ahead of that. This one article you sent that I think is very fascinating, Esmeralda, the 11 things that are not worth your money. I really want to talk about that because there's so many things that we spend a lot of money on that we don't really need to. But obviously, you're able to justify it sometimes, right? You're like, I need to do that. But I want everyone to text in or call in. Jess has some thoughts on it too. 312-91-7200. What is something that people spend a lot of money on that they absolutely don't need to? We're going to do that. The news coming up on 720 WGN. From Rogers Roofing to Rogers, I don't know, I can't even do it. But we've gotten some great stashes in the text line. 312-981-7200. Keep sending us your stash. Got one from an A47 from college, NIU. It's a gentleman who shares the same haircut that you do, Roger, on the top.
Oh, right. And a little helmet thing.
Yeah, and it's a nice mustache, and it's a thin handlebar that arcs upwards like a Dennis Eckersley bit. Yeah.
I love that everyone who keeps sending in, they're all coiffed.
Yes, that's
mustaches.
The thing. And they're using their wax and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, obviously, it was a great mustache. Scott Miller. Produced for Pete for a while.
Does competition
and, he does competitions. Oh, yeah. With Remington. And his is incredible. But his is clearly a stage mustache. His is one that is entered into contests. You know, it's it's a performance mustache.
Like those dogs?
Right.
Well, he's probably got
like
it insured.
Yes.
What's that?
I would imagine he's got it insured.
Yes, he's got it insured. In case.
Ooh, I wonder how much it costs per
in case a CTA train
mustache
were to, exactly.
side.
Yeah, right.
But Roger, that's the best part about yours. That was your everyday stash.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
sometimes
free.
Sometimes I would go sans wax. You know,
let it
freely hang.
Could you have cut it and donated it for Locks for Love? I feel like it's almost
for
that.
People who need mustaches.
Well, it's pretty thin right now, but I could grow it out.
It's long enough
hair from my lip.
Right.
Could you imagine how many mustaches would they need to make a hairdo?
You know, honestly, Roger, I don't know how you went. You should have gone through life feeling guilty in the winter that there were people on the streets cold that could have used your mustache
cold
as a blanket.
Upper lips.
Yes, they could have.
That was my cold mustache. And you know, I remember there's a movie called The Great Race, and Jack Lemmon played the villain, and he had a handlebar mustache like that. And in one of the winter scenes, his aide de camp reached over and broke the end of it off
because it was so
It was so frozen.
Were you frightened? That just flashed back to me
that it's a great movie, but. Yeah.
All right, really scared after that?
No, not at all.
Thought someone would do it to you.
No.
All right, we're going to get more into the stash and then the 11 things that are not worth your money, but we have got to do the news. It's 2:37. Oh, I'm going to get a call about that. Let's go to the newsroom. Here's Roger Madison. Money. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, meaning Jezmeralda.
Jezmeralda, comparing our dad's stashes.
Yes, so each of our, does your dad currently have that stash?
I don't think so. This is really bad. I can't remember if he does or not.
Once you know, it's so funny because I was like, my dad has a mustache, right? He's literally had one every single day of his life that I've been alive. But when you get to know someone's face so well, you don't like quite break it down and think through it. I'm like, so I showed Esmeralda my dad's stash and he has an epic stash. It's not Roger Badish 1974 epic. And your dad is a good one too.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
I think most dads are required to have mustaches now.
At one point.
Certainly, yes. Any dad that was born in the 50s that came of age late 60s, early 70s, just kept it on. Because then they had kids. They're like, I don't have time to shave this crap off. I might as well just keep this thing going all the way. 312-91-7200 had a few more texts on mustaches. There's a referee in the UFC who has a braided mustache that hangs down to his belt. And a ref has that.
That's got to be a beard.
But that's a UFC.
Or a goatee.
You expect that. Ooh, I found another good picture of my mustache. It's even better
than that one.
Roger, it sounded like you were looking at porn on the computer the way you said
it.
I found another one of my stash.
This one is actually curled up.
Okay.
So this was after... This was after college, so this was Bridget and I was still wearing my fraternity jacket. I'll post it.
When I look at old photos of my mom, I can tell what year it is based on her hairstyle because it changed every year. Because she was a teacher, so she has hairstyles every year. And I can be like, oh, that's 1982, Marcia. That's 1988. Do you do the same thing with your mustache? Do you know exactly the year it was when you look at how your stash was done differently?
Yeah.
I had it in stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like in college, I had the handlebar mustache. But after college, and then I started working, I trimmed it back or even shaved it off because I was working.
You're working, man.
I wanted to be a little more presentable.
Right. You didn't want a bunch of Cheez-Its coming out of your face all day long. All right, we played the bump, so we got to talk about this money thing. Jess, you were so proud of the bumping that you had done, and it was really wonderful. Things that are not worth the money. I think we all kind of spend a little bit too much in certain areas, and some of us are able to justify it as, oh, that's just the one thing. That's my one thing I spend money on, and a lot of times that isn't the best way to go about doing things. The one that I think that a lot of people think of off the top, and Sam out of South Elgin said right away, and I think this is a great place to start because I feel the same way, and it's also not on this list, which I find fascinating, is Sam says, something people spend a lot of money on that they really don't need but want is Starbucks coffee. And I completely agree with that. I mostly brew my own coffee at home. Sometimes it's even Starbucks branded coffee bags. I just buy them in a bag of whole beans, grind them up and make them. But man, every now and then I'll go to Starbucks and I'm reminded, why am I spending this much money on coffee? Why would I ever spend? And then the other thing about Starbucks is once you go in there, you feel the need, at least I feel this way, to get a fancier drink than all I really want is a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put some cream in it. But then you're there, you're like, oh, I'll get a latte. And as soon as you start upgrading to lattes and frappuccinos and macchiatos, you're looking at $5, $6, $7 for a cup of coffee. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm also amazed that now there's so many boutique coffee that you can buy in the store, like a bottled of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's $4, $5. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
Nobody made this. It's been sitting on the shelf for God knows how long.
If you were just to go get into coffee once a month and that was like your little thing, that's totally fine. But coffee's a repetitive thing. It's something
nobody
we do
goes
every
once a
single
month.
Day.
Come on
so
now.
That really, really, really adds up.
Yeah.
So.
Although I bought a reusable cup, and you can do this with any reusable coffee cup, you can go in and they'll give you a discount.
Oh, that's good.
To fill your own mug.
Fill your own mug. Okay.
So there's that much.
There's a way to do it.
So it'll be $4.75.
Yes, exactly. You'll save 50 cents off the top. Things that are not worth the money. And number one on this list is bottled water.
Yeah, especially here in the city.
Yeah,
they charge
great.
You.
Yeah. Oh, and we got great water here too in the city,
well,
right?
Well, fine.
I think so. Lake Michigan's fine.
Those news things.
Yeah, but they say you need to drink enough water on a daily basis to keep yourself properly hydrated, of course. But you don't need to drain your wallet to do so. Avoid buying bottles of water that are only good for a few uses. It's better for your wallet and the environment and to invest in one that's ready for endless use.
Right. Okay. No, and I use, it's probably not the, because I don't really wash it, but I have a little bottle that I use here.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, from the machine. But yeah, I don't understand when I see people buying the big 24 packs of bottled water.
Right.
It's like, you know, it comes out of that sink.
It's the same thing, right?
You can buy one of those Britas and you're fine.
224 says Starbucks Nitro is the most bang for your Starbucks buck, and it's amazing. So the 224 is addicted, but that's okay.
I'm curious. Isn't that just cold? Is that cold
coffee? I think it's cold, but I think it's like down in the compressed air, so it foams up nicely. So again, if that's your thing, you obviously can't, most people can't nitro blast their coffee at home.
I mean, you can always just go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
They're like $2.
Another thing, I'm kind of, brand name meds or cleaning supplies is wasting your money. And I always wonder this when I'm at the grocery store or at the CVS or the Walgreens, because I do see that I'm like, man, the NyQuil ripoff or the NyQuil general brand is $3 cheaper. But I'm like, but I trust NyQuil or I trust DayQuil.
Yeah, actually, is that a thing for you? Do you?
There's certain like cleaning
supplies. What do you call it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm addicted to the certain label, or I need that certain. I often, it's just kind of whatever mood I'm in. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not paying that. I'll pay the cheaper thing. Or if I've used the CVS brand or the Walgreens brand, I know it works just as well. But there's sometimes, like, if I'm actually sick that day and I'm like, I need to sleep tonight or I need to be able to function today, I will go with the name brand stuff just because I know it and trust it. But it's probably done through years of advertising into my brain that that's why I need it.
Pretty much. Because I've looked at you look at the back of the bottles, same ingredients. And I'm like, what voodoo magic are you doing, NyQuil, that's going to be different than the nice brand that Walgreens has?
Right.
I doubt nothing.
Brand name meds. That's interesting. They say so many of store brand options are just as good as you're saying. There might be an item or two you might consider better quality, but in general, it's just a wash. And store brands aren't always cheaper, so make a habit of comparing prices. That is important, too, because sometimes I'll look and I'll be like, wait, this is...
Or it's on sale.
Or it's on sale. So always take a look at that. This is interesting because I've actually never ridden first class, but they say that first class tickets on domestic flights are not worth the money. I always feel like first, I mean, when I look at the difference between prices, I don't think it's ever worth the money. It's such a quick part of your life. And I understand it's a stressful part of your life, but like it's over in what? 4 hours at worst if you're flying to LA?
Yeah, at the most.
Like, it's
from
done.
Here at least, yeah.
Why would you spend
even
four
international
times as much?
When I went to Iceland, I mean, I took the budget, the JetBlue international version, and I was like, whatever, I'm gonna sit here for my 8 hours.
I know. Even if I got to a point in my life where I felt like I was wealthy enough to do it all the time and it was throwaway money, I don't think I would, because it's just a little part of your day. Now, maybe people could justify it in saying, because I stress out about air travel, maybe it just puts you at ease going into it, knowing that, hey, I'm going to have this comfortable seat. And then so you're paying for not only those 8 hours, but the days leading up to it where you're stressing out about it.
I guess. But I would be on the plane thinking, I want my money's worth. Give me all the nuts and snacks that you have.
You'd be packing them up in your little
carry-on.
Yeah,
I'm like, what snacks do I get? I'm in first class. Give it to me.
You go on with an empty carry-on just by the end of it, you just have a bag of nuts that
you're
bringing.
I want three sodas.
Yes. Yeah. You might as well
free headphones.
It. Yeah, keep on pouring champagne into this bag. Trust me. You just got like a little Ziploc thing in there.
I lined my purse.
708 says, I personally think that extended warranties are a waste of money.
Though, you know what? I have such a love-hate relationship with that because you never know.
You never know.
Something might break and then you're completely screwed. And like things with phones and big stuff.
I've never gotten an extended warranty on any of the electronic stuff, and I feel like now that I probably saved enough money to have saved for a new phone if something happened, so I feel like I paid or have not paid enough that now if something did happen, I'd be okay with it. So now I never get an extended warranty because I'm like, whatever.
I do it. I've done. I think I did it on this phone, but they gave you a choice of a really long one or a kind of short one, and I kind of went with the middle. So I was like, you know what? If I break, something falls off of it, this will be fine.
You've been thinking about this all day long, right, Jess? You said you have any good ones that you would not spend money on?
Sure. Well, I'm going to tail off the texter comment. Extended warranties. I have an extended warranty on my vehicle, and I really wish that I did not purchase it.
Right. Is it because you were sat in, I was just going to ask, or is it because you were sitting in that room, and that person really, because the guy who ends up with the financing, that's always the part where they really try and get you. Did he convince you? Is that what happened?
I bought an extended warranty, so it's the life of my vehicle, basically, or however long that I have it. And like a week later, I had like a tube that broke, and I went back, and I'm like, okay, great, I have an extended warranty, it's gonna cover it. Nope,
and it didn't.
It shelled out like
what's the point? Yeah,
for a tube.
How much money does it cost you extra a month for your extended warranty? Do you know the difference, or?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because they kept on telling me, they're like, oh, it's only, you know, $30 a month. What's the difference if you're already paying $300 or something like that? I'm like, it's $30 a month.
You know, they have the insurance now for flights.
Oh, yeah, in case you got to cancel and move them. Yeah.
Which I'm like, I'm not going to move it.
Right.
Trust me.
And sometimes those insurances don't cover if you want to just move it voluntarily. It's only like if someone dies and then you have to prove it.
Yeah, I never do it.
No.
Because I'm just like, no. Yeah. I'm not going to move whatever I need to move. I'm making this flight. Right. I don't care.
Number four. Actually, let's take a quick commercial break. 312-981-7200. Things that you think are not worth the money. Text them in or call them in and let us know what you don't want to spend extra money on, or things that you know you're spending too much extra money on, but you do it anyways and you don't care. That's coming up on 720 WGN. Hey, I just met you. WGN, Jesmerelda in for Matt Bubala. And stash update, Rogers posted more photos of his stash. Oh. And Esmeralda and I both looked at each other and said, he looks like a serial killer.
Seriously, you look, I mean,
you know
Roger.
What I was doing on the one where my head is turned sideways?
Yeah.
What? You were murdering someone.
Yeah.
I was murdering the Thanksgiving turkey.
Is
that what all that blood is in the corner?
Yes.
This definitely does look like the photo they play dramatic music underneath, and they're just like, only his neighbors knew later that something was wrong. Exactly.
He seemed like such a nice man.
He seemed like such a nice man, but 90 people were buried in the crawl space.
Oh, serve them for Thanksgiving.
Nice stash. Yeah, it's always
we
the
have
ones.
Turkey and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We got another stash, and I'm amazed how all these stashes go up. My dad's doesn't. He's got a push broom from the 847. Yes. He's got a sweet stash as well.
Yeah,
it's and curling we can on see up his nose.
Yes, I was going to say, his nose hairs look clean, so he's good to go. He's got the selfie. We appreciate that. Keep sending us your stashes. 312-981-7200. And Roger will keep us updated. So we're up to that stash is what year, Roger?
The one that you just posted? The turkey stash, the head turned sideways, is in Vegas, actually.
Oh, okay.
Our first apartment. So that was 77.
Okay, we're up to the late 70s.
Maybe 78.
Roger will.
And then the other one.
Turkey serial killer one is...
No, that's... Actually, the bigger picture is me sitting next to Bridget.
Okay.
I don't look like a serial killer in that one.
Come on, Roger.
Raj.
Right. Well, close. All right.
Trust me, I've seen a lot of serial killers.
Right. We know serial killers.
It was about the same time.
Yeah.
Between 76, 77. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll get up to the 80s eventually. Things you spend too much money for that you shouldn't spend too much money for. We were talking about paper products. Jess brought up paper products, our producer, and you're talking about like paper towels and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they're so expensive. So, if you get like a pack of four to six rolls, it's $6 or $7.
So do you not buy them at all, or you buy the off-brand name ones? Or just use like a cloth and then wash it or something?
It depends.
See, I'm a paper.
I really do all three.
I'm a paper towel junkie, and I do go name brand paper towels because I do feel like there is a significant difference in quality between the ones you just get in the store that are like the Kirkland brand or something like that don't actually wipe anything up. I go with the quilted quicker picker upper. It's quilted.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but then I told you, I was like, I don't even like to use paper towels.
When did you become such a environmental fiend?
Yeah, you said that, and then I went, we only have one Earth, John. One Earth.
312-981-7200. What do you spend too much money on?
But have you seen, there's some people who don't have plates.
Mm-hmm.
They use paper plates for everything.
Paper, that's a waste.
I find that so crazy. Yeah. I'm like, just get some plates.
Not if you recycle.
You can't recycle them.
No,
they're
you
covered
can't,
in
Roger.
Grease.
You can't.
No, the you paper, a regular paper plate, not the waxed ones.
No,
not
after you can't. You use when it. They have food grease, you can't.
Are you sure?
Yes, Roger. You can't throw grease in the
Roger,
recycling.
Stop.
Oh, not the grease. No,
no, but, no. But the thing
no, no, no.
that's covered.
Let's say you
in
have
grease.
A sandwich on it.
Yes,
and there's
okay.
nothing on it but crumbs.
That one would
okay.
be fine.
All right, yeah. Okay.
But if say it was something greasy.
Yeah, in Chicago,
there was food on it.
You cannot recycle pizza boxes.
Yeah, because of the grease.
Because of the grease.
You can you can recycle the top, but not the bottom.
Got to break those down, Roger.
All right. Well, I break a lot of stuff down. Breaking it down.
Roger breaks it down.
Including those neighbors that he
can
you,
oh,
in his
God.
Basement.
Oh, I broke them down with
Roger,
that electrical
what would,
knife.
What would your serial killer nickname be? I mean, everyone's got one. They just, you know, they call
oh,
it
the... Oh, his nickname? I was going to say, what's your middle name, Roger?
The thing they'd call you, they'd call it the stash killer. What would they call Roger years later?
Well, actually, that was my nickname in college.
The stash
wow.
killer?
Oh, not the stash killer, just stash.
The stash?
Wow. Mustache, like what's, mustache.
Roger, but, what's your middle name?
I won't say.
What?
Oh, okay.
No. Really? Okay.
Because usually they name their whole three name.
I don't use it. Yeah,
oh,
I
right.
have a middle name.
Because
I don't
you're not
use
a serial killer.
I don't
killer.
Need
right.
a... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like George, John,
Yeah, they're always
whatever.
Three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always
no,
three.
No, I don't
Ooh.
Use my middle. I would never do that. And you know who else uses middle names? When people start like trying to make it big in Hollywood... They use all three of their names
yeah.
to set themselves apart from
yeah,
the rest.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Another thing that people that waste money on, DVDs, apparently.
I mean, that's kind of an
That
old.
Makes sense, right? Yeah, you don't really use... When is this article from?
No, but, you know, there are... I mean, you still go to the store. You can buy DVDs.
Yeah.
And it's like, what for? I can yeah. download it online.
All right, well, we'll keep this conversation going after the news break. We got to take a quick break before that. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Jez Merelda in for Matt Bubala. It is 3:02. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. This news report is sponsored by Pearl Mortgage. 3:02, we go to Roger Stash Killer Badish.
The Killer Badish.
WGN, Matt Bubala is out. Oh. Esmeralda is singing. I thought you were about to say Matt Bubala, but you were just mouthing the lyrics.
I was just singing.
Party
yeah,
in the
I
USA?
I was mouth singing Party in the USA. Mouth singing?
You were, I think it's just called singing at that
yeah.
point.
I don't know where else I'd regular. Be singing from.
Right.
But
well, 312-91-7200. Where do you like to sing from? No, we're talking about all things mustaches. Roger, you did the traffic when I was driving in a Lakeshore Drive. I saw a complete wheel in the middle of the road that wow. I had to dodge. And
just wheel, no car?
No car. Couldn't find the car, but there was a wheel with a tire around it and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And you mentioned the weather forecast because it's getting really good and it's going to be really nice early next week. I'm so excited because on the jam, I found after hours of phone calls. Finally, I found someone that would let me use their ice cream truck. So I'm going to drive that around one morning, I think Tuesday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., driving it around and surprising commuters on the street with people getting
that
to work at 6 in the morning,
so
just throw some
cool.
ice cream at them.
Oh,
so
really? Where are you going to be?
I'll be all the way downtown. You should come right after you get
I'm
off the...
I'm going to give you my number.
Yeah.
You know, too bad you got the actual
I'm
truck.
I'm just going to walk by.
My brother, when he was in high school, one of the jobs he had was selling ice cream at the beaches
okay.
up on the North Shore.
With a little cart?
But it was the bicycle.
Oh.
The bicycle with the cart with the big freezer on the front with the bells on the handlebars. Oh, my God. That was such a cool job.
Probably made
I
a lot of money,
to do
too.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never got it. I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And that's you'd get so fit.
I bet.
Just don't touch the ice
just
cream.
Just don't eat the ice cream.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And I just heard one of the suburbs. Was it Elmer's? Was it Elgin? Did they just allow ice cream trucks for the first time?
What?
This summer. Ever? Yeah, ever. I don't know about ever, but at least they had a ban on it.
Oh, that's so sad.
That they had a ban, yeah.
Right, that's like
understand.
One of the things, though, of summer.
I forget which one it was. It was recently. It just, I mean, just a couple days ago.
You can understand why they would ban it. One, the music, the trucks that play the
come
music.
On.
Oh, it's
they
nice
don't want
music.
The music
Fuddy Duddy.
Two, yeah. I know, fuddy-duddy. I'm not the town board that banned it.
right.
And two kids running out in traffic.
Yeah.
All right, well, you gotta teach your kids not to do that.
Well, you know, they get so excited.
Yeah.
But it was officially spring last Tuesday at the Grand Girls School because two huge vans, ice cream truck vans, show up, one on one side of the school, one on the other. They double-team the school.
Right.
And so they do.
So it was,
but yeah. Kids on both sides of the school where the kids come out on both sides.
So, Roger, you mentioned the van.
One of these huge trucks. I like big truck.
Right. So I found a bunch of those I could have driven around.
Right.
But I didn't want a van thing. I wanted a truck.
Yeah, you
truck.
Want a straight up Eskimo.
Right.
Eskimo company ice cream man. I wanted
a good humor truck.
Yes, I wanted a truck that I would look like a weird person driving around. So I'm going to get a whole costume and an ice cream man and literally just pull up to people and launch ice cream at them.
You know what the weirdest thing when the good humor truck would pull up in front of our house?
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest thing, I don't know why I found it unusual, but you would ask for something, and the guy would pop open that little door in the back, the little hatch door, and then he'd reach... Like, God, how far could his arm reach?
Yeah.
All the way inside, and you'd wait for like a minute.
Right, he was digging around down
there.
And
he's digging around, his eyes are looking up in the sky. You don't know what the heck is he doing in there.
Right.
And magic.
And out comes the one you ordered.
He was making the ice cream with the one hand. That's what he was doing.
He was churning it, yes. Exactly. He's like, don't worry, we got it. Just stay here. Gotta let this cream deform.
By the way, the 847 says Elgin, first time in 30 years for ice. That's really depressing.
That's a big
But good news, they're
yeah,
back.
The kids can now get their ice
cream. That was always so exciting. I grew up on a cul-de-sac, so it was always nice because you could hear the truck coming for a while, and then you got it as it looped around, and you always had it. Oh,
I would chase it.
Oh, you really?
I would hear from a mile away, and I'm like, where is it?
You'd be on the Stevenson, and Esmeralda's like trying to get it on the on-ramp.
No, I'm like, I'm tracking it through my neighborhood, because I lived in a subdivision, so I'm just like, where?
I hear it somewhere.
This way.
Yes.
I'm feeling the ground. I'm like, it was here.
Yeah, we'd always then beg our parents, oh, please, $1, just $1, because you used to be able to get whatever you wanted for
$1. But when would you start asking them? Like
for money?
Like, no, in order to get the money in time,
you would
be out there as the truck pulled up.
I think so, because I think, if I remember correctly, we always played outside in the summer. That's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we just went outside from 3 p.m. till the end of the day.
Right.
Well, yeah, you would hear it, and then you'd run in and then come
I'd run in and run out, yes.
And you go, please, can I have some ice cream truck?
Yeah. I would always get, there was one that was in the shape, it was pink, and it was in the shape of a baseball mitt, and had a little gumball on it, like a baseball had just caught it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That we didn't have those fancy ones when I was growing up. We just had the usual good humor ones.
You had ones that was made in the truck as the guy pulled up.
Had freshly made.
Freshly made.
There's not enough room in there, you know.
I remember there was like bomb pops. Or there was the ones that were just like regular popsicles, and they were 25 cents. I think the most expensive was like $1.75.
Most. And that was for like a cookie sandwich, ice
cream
sandwich.
And that thing was like, Choco Taco.
That was the top shelf. He ain't digging through the bottom of that.
Right. And now everything's $3, $3.20.
It's crazy.
Talking about not worth your money.
With the solid chocolate inside. Do you remember those?
Say that again?
I think it was called Chocolate Eclair. It was the cake outside, frosting, then the ice cream, and then inside was solid chocolate.
I remember the cone, and then it had like a slushy kind of stuff, and then but it had the gumball at the bottom.
I always
had
the drumsticks I loved with the chocolate at the bottom, and those were always
the chocolate
really
and the nuts. Right.
Well, let's get to Kevin. You're on WGN. Some fond ice cream memories for you.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody there's old enough to remember Mr. Softy.
Yeah,
Roger.
We didn't.
Yeah, Mr. Softy was a chain of ice cream stands. It was ice milk is what they used, I think, because I know that Dairy Queen used ice milk,
right.
Not ice cream.
Okay.
And I think Mr. Softy was another version of that, and they used ice milk because it was a softer, didn't have to scoop it, it poured out of machines.
So, Kevin, do you have a soft spot for Mr. Softy?
Yeah, it's like it was like an ice cream truck that rolled around, and they gave you soft serve ice cream cones out of the truck.
I've never seen the ice cream trucks that give you soft serve ice cream scoop ice cream.
I didn't know those existed. Did they still like play the music as they went around, Kevin?
Oh yeah, they did. And it's like I'm an old dude. That was like probably the early to probably like 63 to 67 or something like that. Mm,
good years.
I wish they served that.
Yeah, I could use that any day of the week.
I would dig that way more than a popsicle.
My favorite thing about going on a cruise is that they have soft serve machines everywhere.
You just stick your head under it?
Yeah. Don't even stop at an island. I don't care. Just don't even go in the ocean. Just
the island of ice cream.
You want one?
Yeah. Hey, Kep.
You want one?
Yeah.
They still franchise. They're still in business.
Where can we get one? Roger, order one.
Headquarters are in New Jersey.
Okay.
No, he's trying to sell us on the franchising idea.
Yeah, I want you to get a truck and go out and sell Mr. Softy.
First things first, Kevin, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, it's like listening to Chicago Heights area.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect. Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. 720 WGN, other ice cream memories that you have?
I'm from Joliet, which is where DQ started.
Uh-huh.
So I don't even think we had Mr. Softy, because that's Dairy Queen country.
Exactly. I loved Dairy Queen as a kid going there.
I worked at one. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You worked at a McDonald's and a Dairy Queen?
I worked at the Howard Street Dairy Queen.
Did you sign a non-compete, Roger? You're crossing franchises.
Man. Well, I mean, which one do you want?
I love Dairy Queen so much. I love the getting the cone and
the
dip,
right?
But cherry.
Now what in the cherry?
Cherry, yes.
Yeah, good. Or the butterscotch or the chocolate.
No, cherry.
Just yeah. Yeah. Now my other question about the ice cream truck, the only thing that I have an issue with, and I can't think of it now, if you remember the song, why do they all have the same song? Couldn't they
they
always
got different
repeated? Well, I just remember
my childhood, they had that. But then they also had the do-do-do-do-do. Do your ears hang low? Do they wobble to and fro?
That's the ice cream song I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. And then, see, but now I hear one in my neighborhood, and this is, I'm in Albany Park, and it's kind of creepy. And then it goes, so it's like, do-do-do-do-do. Hello?
Yes.
Do,
it talks to you?
It says hello in the middle of it. I'm just like, what is happening?
Now, I got to say, if an ice cream truck ever rolled up to me and Roger Badish's stash came out of it in 1970s form, I would run as fast as
away. I mean, if it was giving me ice cream.
Yes. If there it is. See, this is okay. This more sounds like a video game.
Yeah, it sounds like a video game.
But it is right. It's
the Ice Cream Man video game.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I want more.
There
it is, Roger.
Taking the straw.
On repeat. Oh. And then if Roger opened it up and it was 1973 Roger, that's the beginning of a horror movie.
Ice cream all over my mustache.
The Ice Cream Stash Man. That's your serial killer name. 720 WGN. WGN. I love Jess and any producer that takes pride in the bump-in song to make it fit on theme. We're talking about ice cream and, well, first we were talking about things that we spend too much money on. I don't think you can ever spend too much money on ice cream.
Although those ice cream trucks nowadays, I don't think
are worth
it.
Like you're saying.
They're like $5 now for a Choco Taco. I'm like, come on, guys.
Inflation hits ice cream trucks too, Esmeralda.
But I can go to the Walgreens and get the same thing.
So a distinctive feature I'm reading about ice cream trucks is their melodic chimes, and often they take the form of a famous and a recognizable tune. So in the U.S., there's something called the Mr. Softy Jingle, which I've never heard. Turkey in the Straw is another one it takes.
So that's the one that he played,
yes.
That Roger played.
Do Your Ears Hang Low? That's yours.
That's the one I've heard.
Pop Goes the Weasel. Yes, that's definitely one.
The most annoying.
Yes. The Entertainer.
Yeah, that doesn't help me. Okay.
See, it did help you. I just need to go a little further. Let me get there. Home on the Range. I've never heard an ice cream truck play Home on the Range.
That's for our country.
Yes, that's down in Oklahoma. That's where that one plays. It's a Small World. I think I've heard that.
Oh, see, maybe they should just ban certain songs.
Yes, because that's a bad one. So they must go in rotation.
So which one's that one?
That's the Mr. Softy.
Oh, that's the Mr. Softy one.
Yeah.
Ugh, that just makes me think of summer. We'd be playing a baseball game in the cul-de-sac. You'd hear that truck and everyone would drop the back gloves. Everyone would, like, if you had an overhead image, you'd just see seven kids going to their respective houses.
Ants running.
And then coming back with money, yes. I mentioned that's why they play the song, is to give you plenty of advance notice.
Oh, yeah. No, and I heard it miles away. My ears would perk up. Like, Ice Cream Man. The Ice Cream Man's coming.
Where is he?
We must prepare.
In other countries, they have ice cream trucks. No surprise there. Let's see. There's ones from opera music that is played. A Japanese children's song usually played with a recording of a woman saying hello at the end of the song.
Oh, maybe that's that weird.
That's called The Picnic.
I always hear it. Yeah, and it's like a song, and they goes, hello. And that, I'm just like, What is happening? This is weird.
Camptown Races is another ice cream truck song. In Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, Greensleeves is played. Whistle While You Work is on their ice cream trucks.
Cute.
That's a good one. You Are My Sunshine is another one.
Aww.
Some other songs as well. I'm wondering when they got their start, because obviously it's a post-vehicle thing, but I imagine ice cream carts were around long before.
I'm a fan of here in the city, the carts.
The carts.
Specifically, paletero.
Paletero?
Yeah, and he's got the Mexican...
Oh,
popsicles.
Yes. Then
they're cream and they're ice-based,
so good.
Fruit-based. Oh, my gosh. Coconut? Yeah.
Does tamale guy just turn into ice cream truck guy, depending on the season?
No, two different people. Because
right.
You can always eat tamales.
No matter what the time is.
Exactly.
Now, if you guys ever listen to Matt Babala show, you will know that whenever he asks
Never
a
heard
question,
of him.
I always go into the library and pull out the information.
Okay.
To the library here at WGN.
So you went to the WGN library.
I worked at the WGN library.
Which is funny because it's across the river now. So you actually had to go across.
Oh, that's right.
It's
moved.
Yeah. The library's moved. You had to move and now you're back.
The first thing they moved.
Yes. So you climb back up the stairs. What are you looking at, Rod?
I am so out of shape.
What'd you get from the library?
7 fascinating facts about the history of ice cream trucks.
No. Give us one or two of these.
Ice cream cart began as an urban phenomenon in which working class laborers bought a small dish of ice cream that he or she licked clean. The dish was then returned to the vendor, wiped down, and loaded with a fresh scoop for a new customer.
No wonder why everyone had dysentery.
Customers with more money or a healthy fear of infectious diseases opted for ice cream sandwiches.
Because you don't need a vehicle. The sandwich is the vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. Just wrap
milk
it in
was
paper.
Not
nothing says obesity in America as an ice cream sandwich, by the way.
Oh,
I used
man.
To eat those like crazy.
Oh, I love them. God. Oh, they're so good. Especially when it's two cookies.
Yes.
And that's the ice cream sandwich.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's why they should just have pizza hamburgers where it's two pizzas and put
pizza
the burger
hamburger.
Between it. That's my version of the cookie ice cream sandwich.
I know ice cream cone.
You have a restaurant idea there.
Yeah, ice cream cone.
Okay.
The crispy waffle cone
at
the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Oh. Yes.
That's where that debuted?
Yeah.
Well, St. Louis did give us one good thing, apparently.
Then in the early 1920s, advances in refrigeration meant electric coolers replaced ice deliveries, so they were more portable, and you could then put them on wheels.
That's what it was. I was wondering if it had to be the advancing of refrigeration techniques that did it, obviously.
And then also the start of Prohibition in the early 20s had people turn away from the spirits to sweets and fast food.
Oh, so
and
they had
so
to
the
change.
Ice cream parlors and trucks increased at that time.
Okay.
And undercover spirits.
All right, I got a big question for everyone.
Okay.
Containers.
If you had to choose between, you could only choose one thing to have the rest of your life,
right?
Would it be booze or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Really?
Lactose-free.
Love ice cream.
Lactose-free?
Yeah.
Jess, what would you choose? Would it be booze or ice cream if you have one thing left for the rest of just music? Neither. I need the tunes, man. I don't know. I like ice cream, but I'm not addicted to it. And I'm not that I'm addicted to alcohol. Sorry. I'm setting this up
for... Yeah, but we're choosing one or the other here.
I pick ice cream.
Really?
Because you can eat that whenever. And it's not a problem.
You can drink whatever.
You can eat ice cream in the morning.
True. You can drink in the...
I mean, yeah, but people are going to look at you funny if you're walking in with a bottle of booze.
Yes, they do.
It's kind of like ice cream is very versatile, so it's nice. Like it's
a lot
like,
of variety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's just a matter of I could fill my desire for ice cream with a cookie. For booze, I'm like, not that I drink. I don't even drink that
you're
much, but I'm
different.
Like, I would never want to. I like to imbibe every now and then in a little sip of whiskey or something at the end of a long day. I wouldn't want to go to the freezer and get ice cream instead. That wouldn't do it for me.
Plus, you can put alcohol on ice cream.
That's true. Well, let's why make this choice.
The first ice cream truck.
Okay.
Credited to Harry Burt of Youngstown, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He is credited with creating the Good Humor brand.
Okay.
So
what year?
Does
it not say there?
It's
Go back to the library.
No, it's still referring to the 20s. It's still referring to the 20s and 30s.
That makes sense.
As they're saying, Good Humor Trucks and other branded businesses had new competition during the Depression. The street peddler was back with cheap treats made with questionable sanitation practices.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you don't want some
sick Mr.
Softy,
left and right.
Founded in Philadelphia in 1956.
Okay.
By two brothers who created a soft serve ice cream machine. And then Good Humor sold its fleet in 1970s to focus on the grocery store trade. So a couple of tidbits about that.
That's really nice. I appreciate your visit to the library. Yeah. Now go return the book and make sure you get it back. You'll do that during the commercial break.
Do you have
break.
A card catalog in your library?
Yes, I do. and my card is up to date.
All right. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Now go back there and be back for the news after this commercial break on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's 3:32, which means it's news time. We go up to Roger Bannett.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, face. Face.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. 720 WGN. Jez Merelda filling in for Matt
Bubala
till 5 a.m. I'm really excited about the guest we're going to have at 4 o'clock. Jonathan Swain is a well-known Chicago guy, one of the right-hand men of Mayor Daley back in the day. He's on all sorts of commissions and organizations and voter board of commissions and stuff, and he's also part of an awesome organization called Link Unlimited Scholars. We're going to talk to him at 4
Very nice.
O'clock. Really funny guy, too. So I'm excited to chat with him at length. We've been talking about, we ventured into the ice cream man scenario, and I want to know from people out there, when the ice cream truck rolled around, 312-981-7200, what did you purchase from the ice cream truck? And then also I want to hear from people in Elgin. If you're in Elgin and you haven't had an ice cream truck for 30 years, what's the deal? Or are you upset that they're going to come back?
Right.
I don't know what the deal is. It just because I can't figure out why they didn't.
I could understand the nuisance, but it's kind of like, but it's only through the summer.
Do you think that it was like when there's a dry town versus a wet town that everyone went across the border? Do the trucks like sit right off of Roselle Road? Yeah, they're just playing those. Like, there's just Elgin is just surrounded by ice cream trucks.
They play a note from the ice cream truck just so people know, and they're like, "It's here.
It's here."
It's not 30 years. The headlines are saying 45 years.
Oh my gosh!
Even worse.
Good Lord. Well, the A47 has a suggestion for a place, Andy's Custard in Evanston. It's Evanston and Oaklawn. It says the best hot fudge that sometimes I just get that without the ice cream. What do you eat it with, 847?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just a jug of hot fudge?
I don't know. That sounds good to me.
And no ice cream, though? Come on.
Right. I imagine everyone's on in Streamwood lining up for that ice cream truck around the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. They're just sitting there waiting for those Elgin customers. By the way, we were also talking about, what were we talking about? Oh, things that aren't worth
your money.
Things
that aren't worth your money.
Esmeralda's ice cream these days isn't worth your money.
Well,
the
ones in those creepy vans.
Right. Going along with that, regular lunch is out. I know a lot of people who work in the city or work far away from where they live. Obviously, they have their lunch break. And this is one that I always think is the biggest way to save money really quickly. Because, man, lunch adds up. It is like $10 to $12 now. And in the city, sometimes you're paying $15 for a lunch. And it's so, most of the stuff, if it's a sandwich from wherever the sandwich place is, if it's a, you can make that stuff at home. I know it takes time, I know it takes planning, but it really, $10 to $15 a day, that adds up really quickly.
It starts to add up. And then on this, they also throw in meals that you could easily make yourself. So you could easily make a sandwich.
Yes.
You can easily make, you can make anything, shove it in a bag, throw it in a Tupperware container and take it to work. My only issue with that is I'll sometimes forget my food
The counter. On the counter, yeah.
And I just walk away and then I can't go back and get it.
Yeah. The one great thing about working on a morning TV show, well, there's many great things, but I always am home for lunch, so I save a lot of money that.
That's nice.
I don't really eat during the morning. I just kind of like eat a banana on the way to work, and then I get home and I have lunch at home. But yeah, trying to pack your lunch, people. This is an interesting one. Premium gas when you don't need it. Who puts in premium gas in their car if they don't need it? Unleaded does the trick.
Yeah,
what
I
is
usually
premium
try
gas
to,
even for?
Well, I think because some do say... They'll say, use this, use such and such type. So maybe, and I don't know if you have to use that or if it's just a nice suggestion.
Yeah, but what does it do?
Well, there are different grades. When you go to the gas station,
yeah.
there's
mm-hmm.
at least three grades
yeah.
of gas that you can put in. And the ingredients that are within the gas, because there are some that treat your engine nicer
okay.
Than others, and you could get more buildup of residues around your spark plugs, around other parts of the engine that kind of will make it sluggish, will make it not run as smoothly. You might hear a knocking after
really?
A long time of using the lower grade gasoline. But again, it also differs by the temperature outside. I don't use the highest grade, but I also don't use the lowest.
It's really?
Just a habit that I've gotten into over
you use
the decades.
Middle.
I use the middle. I don't do a lot of driving now.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot mm-hmm. more. And so it's not really that important.
Yeah, I guess I always thought it was just the difference between bottled water and tap water, but if it actually does help your
yeah, they're
car
different.
Engine
there are
out,
actual different formulas.
Well, I figured there was something, but I didn't know it actually yeah. was better for your car. Hey, we got a call on that. Scott, what's the deal with premium gas? Why should we get it? Should we not use it?
Well, if you look in your auto, the manual that nobody reads anymore for cars,
nope.
Some cars actually do require it.
Require it, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, higher-end cars with some type of, I don't know, what kind of engine or whatever. And I, every once in a while, put in a tank full of premium gas just for the hell of it.
Treating yourself.
Just treat yourself.
Yeah, and actually, I get like 2 miles to the gallon better.
Really?
Oh. So it's worth the extra cash.
If you want to, yeah. It's like a treat for my car.
It's your baby, right?
When you're filling it up, do you like tap the top of it too? You're like, ooh, you've been good lately. You're getting some of the good stuff.
Come to it, and I have a little song I sing, but I'm not going to do it.
Oh,
wait, no,
oh,
now you have to. What's the song you sing to your car?
Well, you know I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Come on, Scott, play along.
Hey, Scott.
No, he buys him an ice cream bar.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it. All right. Yeah, okay.
By the way, got more information about Elgin. And the ice cream trucks?
What's that?
About Elgin and the ice cream
okay,
trucks.
Yeah, go ahead.
So do they
so
does
they're
it
requiring,
say why?
They're requiring, well, they claim that there was a rumor that a child got hit by a truck
okay.
a long time ago, but there's no evidence to that.
Oh, boy.
But now they are requiring a $1 million liability insurance for truck operators.
It's just getting harder and harder for
yeah.
the little truck operator.
Also, they would not be allowed adjacent to parks with city-authorized concessions. Which kind of makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
They only allowed on parks that have roadways. Ice cream trucks could not sell within 500 feet of elementary and secondary schools.
That makes sense. Everyone
1 hour
the school.
Before, during, or after school.
A lot of rules.
What? But that's like that's the money
time.
Making, man.
I know. Well, let them walk 500 feet and get their ice cream.
I know a big thing was the background checks on drivers. You don't want
yeah,
a Roger Mattis stash hey, driving
hey,
around.
Hey.
You would have walked in for that background check. They'd be like, nope,
you are not
driving an ice cream truck.
Hand them that picture and they go, uh-uh.
No. Stand there curling my mustache. Hey, kids, come and get your ice cream.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you'd have to wear one of those little hat things.
Oh, yeah, you'd
wear
a mustache guard.
Yes.
A little hairnet.
Yeah. Oh, I would. Yeah. That would be really cool with a little red bow tie.
On the mustache?
No, on my
Your mustache
oh, on
is so
shirt.
Bad it deserves a bow tie. And the 6630 says, I wonder if there was ice cream truck bootlegging going on in Elgin, selling bomb pops out of the trunk or something like that. Yes.
Do you see that they're in the back seat?
Yes.
People are just rolling down the window?
Yes, a prohibition style, yes, black market for ice cream going on in Elgin. Someone's like, yeah, I brought this on in from Downers Grove.
Yeah.
It's a little melted, but this is all you get here in Elgin. And they're just like playing the fake music. They're just like singing it out their cars.
It's like, you know, when you look for videos that aren't legal.
Right.
They're just, they're either like flipped backwards or they're
yes.
high pitched so they won't get caught on the internet.
Right.
It's just like that.
Right. It's like a drumstick, but without the nuts on top of it. I had to scrape them off to make sure they passed by.
This doesn't technically count.
Right. Exactly. All right, 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick commercial break now. I want to talk about, Esmeralda, you sent me this interesting article, which is always interesting for you, because hygiene always comes up in our conversations.
I am a very hygienic person. There's just things that aren't...
Some shows I ask you, when was the last time you showered to start the show?
It was like a day.
Right.
Just because I showed up non-showered.
We'll find out if Esmeralda showered after this 720 WGN. Esmeralda just screamed yes. Mm-hmm. What makes you scream?
Blackstreet, No Diggity.
You love this song.
Sure to get down.
Keep going. Jess asked me why we didn't ask the singer. We did ask the guy to sing the song that he sang to his car, but he said he didn't want to. So
he said he just made it up.
He was making it up. So
maybe he was just shy.
I think he was a little shy. All right, so 312.
Well, it was a special song between him and his car.
By the way, you just showed me a disgusting video. Where did you find this thing?
I don't know. It came up in my Facebook. It was because earlier with Patty, they were talking about the cockroaches that are falling from the sky in sales.
Okay.
Because the building's getting knocked down, so the cockroaches are fleeing. And then this was a, it was a impacted earwax and a roach in an ear, so.
Oh, it was a roach in an ear?
I didn't even get that far.
Mm-hmm. But it was a video of a zoom in and a thing going into someone's ear.
I sent it to
ear.
Patty. She said it was oddly satisfying.
Just disgusting. Esmeralda Leon, you're hygienic. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus.
Hygienic as it comes.
But you don't often, you have interesting things about you. You don't like to wear deodorant.
It's not that I don't like wearing it. Mm-hmm. I just sometimes forget.
Right.
You forget.
Everything happens. So we're talking about the 12 highly debated hygiene conundrums demystified. And it's just basically things that are common myths that you have. Should you do it? Should you not do it? The one thing I never do, or I very rarely do, is number one, do you need to wash out your coffee mug? Because I often don't. I just am like, well, it's more coffee going in where the old coffee was. When it gets caked on there, that's when I'm like, all right, I got to run this thing.
Or you see the ring, so you got to scrub it out a little bit. I mean, okay, so in my house, I do wash them.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in dishwasher and I wash
every single time, every use?
Yeah.
I guess you got a dishwasher, why not?
Yeah, I just throw them in and I wash them. But here at work,
yeah,
I mean, we have stuff to wash dishes, but usually I just rinse it out. Put it back in the drawer.
And do I need to wash my coffee mug?
No.
Okay.
As long as you're the only one using it. That's the key.
According to this article.
There's a bunch of different mouths getting on it. No.
There was a whole Seinfeld episode about double dipping the chip. And of course, that's a rule of many parties. So Esmeralda, is double dipping that big of an issue?
Well, according to this, no. Mm-hmm. It says if you're hanging out with your friends, tell your germophobic pal, which it kind of is, that dip already has bacteria.
Yeah.
Probably because it's been sitting out for hours.
There, yeah.
Although you're at the office party, no need to cause unnecessary double dip drama. But the thing is, it's the thought for me.
Really? It's more mental?
Yeah, I do the courtesy and I don't.
Oh.
Just dip once. There's plenty of chips for you to keep on eating the dip.
I don't think I do it, but I don't really care if other people do. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Unless you're, like, getting saliva all over the chip. But, like, why would you be doing that if you're just like... Like, if the chip went all the way in your mouth.
That's true.
Yeah, what does it matter?
Do you imagine someone just sticking the whole chip and then pulling it back out?
I'd be like, wait, I can get one more dip on this.
Now I'm thinking even worse. They just lick the dip off and then put it back in to get more, like a spoon. Don't do that.
Okay, that's disgusting.
You have to eat the chip with the dip on it.
That would bother me if I saw that. The sharing of the toothbrush is something interesting because when I've stayed over, someone's place that you're dating and I forget my toothbrush, I'm always just like, well, who cares? Right. I'll use their toothbrush, whatever.
I mean, you are kissing them
in the
mouth.
Kissing them all the time. So, Esmeralda, can I use the toothbrush of my partner? What? Why?
Doesn't matter how long you've been married. Gums bleed, so you're basically rubbing their blood into your mouth.
Okay, well, when you say it like that.
All right. Yeah, that is a bit of an issue.
That is a little bit gross.
Because you also have to think, as you're brushing, stuff's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not necessarily get rinsed off of the toothbrush. Right. It can get stuck up in the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty gross. Do you wear jeans a lot, Esmeralda?
I do.
How often do you wash your jeans? Ever?
No, I do wash them, but I let them get funky.
I wash them like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and I felt guilty about it for a long time because I'm like, should I be doing it way more?
No, wait. how many times do you wear them in those 2 weeks?
Like every day.
Okay.
I am a person who buys one or maybe two pairs of jeans. Mm-hmm. Same. And I wear them till they're done.
Same.
Because I'm like, it's hard to find ones that fit really well.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to make this look good. And if it does, I'm going to keep them.
Same.
So, but I always felt guilty only washing them every 3 weeks. But according...
I do too, but the thing is, do other people smell them?
I don't know. But the founder of Levi's apparently said that you can stop washing jeans entirely. But this article says that you should wash them every 2 to 6 months.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. And I've heard from other places, and it's depending on the type of jean,
mm-hmm.
because some use raw denim.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And really nicer jeans, you can't. It's not that you can't, but you should not wash them. They don't recommend you washing them. They recommend you just putting them in the freezer.
What?
Because then that will kill the bacteria. Oh, that's what they recommend. Mm. I mean, you put them in a bag. Don't shove them into the freezer with the fish. But
yes,
you and I guess that's supposed to kill all the bacteria. But I know they need a wash every once in a while.
I dry them. In the dryer, because I like them when they shrink, because then for the first couple days, they fit really well.
That's what I was going to say. I get the elastic-y ones. And,
the stretch.
Yeah. So, because at the end of the week, my pants are sagging.
Right. Now, always buckling that first time out of the dryer, I'm always like, it's a little bit hard to navigate sometimes.
Oh, you really gotta do stretches.
Right, but then
you gotta do some lunges. You mm-hmm. gotta stretch them out a little bit.
But then it feels really, really good.
Yeah.
And it looks really, really good. Okay, I never have used a Q-tip. No, I've used one once or twice. I hate Q-tips.
Really?
I don't like them. It makes me kind of nauseous to think about it.
Heebie-jeebies?
Yes, to put Q-tips in my ears.
Okay, I'm sorry, medical professionals. I cannot stop using Q-tips. It feels so good.
Ugh, some people think that.
It feels super good. Jess, do you use Q-tips? This is such like a, people know, yes, there's a very hard line on the Q-tips.
Sometimes, but it depends. Like if I have like sinus issues, I will, but other than that, no.
You don't? But when they get all wet.
Never.
When your ear holes get wet.
After a shower?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't need to. It is the most satisfying feeling ever. What?
Or let the air dry them out.
No.
It's not that much coverage.
But they feel weird, and then when you clean them, it's so nice.
Ugh. It does feel good.
I side
good.
With Esmeralda.
Exactly. You use Q-tips?
I've got a couple of boxes in both bathrooms.
Yes.
Wow, no,
oh, and Roger,
never.
Do
there
you?
There are other uses for them, too, other than that.
Oh, for sure. Well, on the Q-tip box, they can't say that it's for ears because it's. They don't want people sticking Q-tips in their ears.
No.
They say they're for everything
else. But if you're very careful, and I do it after the shower.
Yes, you go around.
Because I don't want the water dripping down. And again, something that people don't seem to realize, and I know I'm probably all by myself, but the ear tubes are connected to your sinuses.
Yes.
So if any infection gets in with the leftover water or anything else that might be attached to it, it can get into your sinuses and cause sinus infections. Yeah. It can cause colds. It can cause a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm. Although, Roger, I will say, and this is from doctors and stuff, they say that when you do use Q-tips, you're just shoving the wax in further.
Yes.
But there's an art to it. You don't just shove the thing in. You cannot push the whole thing in entirely, and that's something else people do is they put it in too far.
No.
We're very savvy with our ear
cringe.
Cleaning.
And Roger, you sound like a gambler who's trying to explain away the gamble. Oh, I got a system too. I got a system for my Q-tips.
I do have a system for
it. The doctors, the professionals,
I don't
say,
care what the doctors say.
Do
they're
it.
The ones who are stuck with a lot of earwax. I don't have any problem.
I completely agree with them, but I still do it.
Wait,
but Roger, I have a question for you. Since you love Q-tips, do you have a preference, plastic versus...
Yes, I do not like plastic because those are too hard.
Oh, really? I think they're too soft.
No.
They
I like
bend.
The paper sticks with the cotton on each end.
Yes.
Because they're lighter, and if you slip... you don't necessarily have that hard plastic pushing through.
And that's where I go with the brand, usually, unless they're paper.
By the way, this one, honestly, the discussion of Q-tips makes me squeezy. Squeezy? Queasy. I just said squeezy.
That's fine. I knew what you were talking about.
Squeezy and queasy.
Yeah.
Ugh. I just hate it. I hate
so
the
this,
feeling of it.
So this is to stop using them immediately. If you want to avoid rupturing an eardrum,
yes,
you can. So please be careful.
Be careful.
Wash the surface of your ears in the shower with a soft washcloth and soap. I clean my ears out. I rub them with soap and everything, but then they're all like watery and... You gotta get that out.
12 highly debated hygiene conundrums demystified. This one, I cannot even believe this is a question.
I mean, people...
Can I turn a condom inside out and reuse it?
No, guys.
Jeez.
No.
And the answer is perfect. No.
No.
That's it. Of course not.
Don't reuse it. Don't double back.
No.
Don't,
no. Oh, my God. No.
One per use, folks.
Who would ever do that?
People do that.
Why?
I don't know, because they don't know any better.
They're the cheapest things in the world, but, I mean, they're fairly...
Doesn't that totally, like, defeat the purpose?
Yes.
What, inside out?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you could... This sounds so disgusting. Ew. You would have to rinse it.
Oh, God.
No, that's too much. No.
I mean, of course, no, but I'm trying to... What is their logic and how...
I appreciate that people are... practicing,
yeah.
No, there's no.
It's good to practice safe sex, of course, but
don't
flip,
cheap on the condoms. You can go to any free clinic; they got loads of them.
Right? Does using your phone on the throne make it any dirtier than it already is?
Yes.
I use the phone all the time while going to the bathroom.
See, again, I do too.
All the time.
So
that's you got 6 minutes to kill. Might as well flip through some social media.
What did we do before phones on the toilet?
Magazines and books.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but in a public place?
Go to the library.
Yeah, bring in a magazine. It says, think about it like this. You wash your hands after using the bathroom, but you never wash your iPhone. Keep it in your pocket. Don't be,
one of the
16% with a fecal phone.
Oh, gosh.
Because,
Get that from Verizon.
I mean, everything has new fecal phones.
Stop saying that phrase.
I mean, everything has fecal matter on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, people don't wash their hands.
I know.
It gets on everything. It's on your shoes. It's on, and then I just heard, speaking of hygiene, are you a take your shoes off at the door?
No.
Household?
Leave them on everywhere.
Roger?
We take them off just after we go inside. Our daughter also has the kids and her do it. And Bridget actually has two pairs of shoes.
Mm.
One pair for outside and then one pair for inside. But again, she has foot problems, so she has a special shoe.
Yeah.
And she just likes keeping the dirty ones from outside.
Right.
Just by the door.
No, exactly.
And then wear the regular ones.
Do you take your shoes off before you go in your house? Or, well, you know, right at the door.
Yeah, I mean... It depends. We have hardwood, so it's a little easier to clean if you did keep them on, but generally by the front door.
But it's a whole thing of...
I don't kick off my shoes till I'm laying in bed if I can.
But then there you go. There's a whole thing of you're tracking in everything from the outside.
What if it gets in your bed?
I don't care. Generally, I just don't care.
I think
we need to go in and fumigate John's place. Seriously.
Look, we need to fumigate me.
He's got stuff all over.
We need to fumigate this show. I hope our next guest who's in the green room stuck around after Esmeralda said fecal phone 28 times, which sounds like a great indie band name. We got to take a quick commercial break. News and more on 720 WGN. Esmeralda, I'll ask you really quickly. Okay. Can I share a bar of soap with someone?
Apparently not.
That's crazy. That's weird. Do I need to wash my hands after riding on the CTA?
Apparently not.
That's crazy. I have deodorant. I don't have any. Can I use yours?
Yeah, as long as you're fine rubbing someone else's hair and skin cells all over your underarms.
I'm totally fine with that, as long as they don't take my fecal phone. How often do I have to wash my sheets?
Once every 2 weeks, more if you sleep in the nude.
And can we yell at anyone that doesn't wash their hands in the bathroom?
Apparently you can, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't yell at anyone. Why get in someone's business?
I just wouldn't, touch anything they touch.
Right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Deck Tech. It is 4:03. Here's Roger Badish. WGN, John and Esmeralda, or Jesmeralda, as we're calling ourselves, or we've been assigned that name.
Yes.
Filling in for Matt Bubala on this Saturday morning until about 5 o'clock. Our first guest of the show, 2 hours into the show, is Jonathan Swain. He's an experienced management professional, cross-trained in the government, non-for-profit, business, legal community, and economic development disciplines. Jonathan, you've got a bio that is a page and a half long. You're an impressive man, but you don't brag for yourself. Someone else had to send your bio along for you. You've done a lot of great work in this community, but the one thing I'm noticing right here is that you produced events including the Hyde Park Brew Fest, Lincoln Park Wine Fest, and the Chicago Bourbon and Barbecue Fest. Now we're talking, man. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And we're going to talk primarily a little bit later about the scholar program that you're involved in, Link Unlimited Scholars. And let's go ahead and briefly mention it off the top, because we got to give them the plug, and then we're going to talk about it a little later on, but I want to get into your history. But give us a little bit of a tidbit about what Link Unlimited Scholars is.
So Link Unlimited Scholars is Chicago's oldest scholarship and career readiness organization that's focused on solely helping African Americans. It was started in 1966 by a couple that lived in Wilmette that saw Dr. King come to Chicago and said, you know, we want to be committed to his dream and realizing his dream in our city. And so from that first investment in providing a scholarship to a student to go to De La Salle High School, we've been able to help educate over 2,400 kids throughout the city of Chicago.
And you yourself were a mentee that was mentored, and now you're on the board. It's incredible.
I am. I mean, I went through the program. My brother's been through the program. I've been through the program. My wife has been through the program. So it's been an integral part of our lives for a long, long time.
When you talk about mentorship and mentor-mentee relationships, there's a lot of great organizations that set up really great things, and that's not to discount any of them. But what an amazing thing about your organization, this is not just a mentor for a couple weeks. You are looking and pairing up people and students with mentors really for life, but specifically for the 4 years of high school and then beyond, to really have a really close one-on-one relationship.
Absolutely. We think that one-to-one mentoring is a key part of our model. I mean, a lot of groups do a lot of mentoring and do a lot of good work, but we think the one-to-one relationship is something that makes our program unique. And we believe that when you connect with someone at the age of 13 or 14 going into high school in those really formative years, then we think it provides them a different kind of perspective that puts them on a different trajectory long-term when it comes to career, when it comes to school, when it comes to life in general, exposure and the like.
Who was your mentor?
My mentor was a guy named Norm Coast. He was a businessman here in Chicago, entrepreneur, used to be a banker. It's just all around great guy. And, you know, he was a guy that provided me a different perspective about business, about life, about schooling, especially when it came to the questions of college. You know, my parents' perspective and growing up, I mean, they did go to small black colleges in the South when they're coming up. But when it came to sending me to school, I needed to get various perspectives on what I thought was best going to be best for me. And so he provided some unique insight to help me make a good decision.
What is the mentor-mentee relationship like? Because, I mean, you say one-on-one, and we were talking on the public affairs program that I have on the U, talking to Kiori, I think his name was, and he was talking about his mentor. I mean, they're close enough that they have coffee together. They have meals together. Mm-hmm. And is that what it's all about? It's not just about taking them to work for the day to show them what it is. It's about building a bond.
I mean, the interesting thing about the one-to-one relationship is that it varies from each pair of mentors and mentees. And so in the Kiori's example, who basically is a part of the family of his mentor, that's one example. Some of them are more professionally based. The students are more interested in what the mentor does professionally. Some of them are exposure based. I'll give you an example of one friend of mine who was in the program. His mentor had a house in Denmark. And so the mentor would take him on the summers to his house in Denmark.
What?
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
He won the mentor pool there. He won the prize. If I were one of the men, I'd be like, well, my mentor's not taking me to Denmark. Come on, I want to get with this guy.
So it really varies. I mean, and obviously, you know, it's a growing experience over the 4 years for both the mentor and mentee. I mean, you have, you know, mentors that some of which are older, some of which are not as old. Some have kids, some don't have kids, different stages in their career. And then you have young people that are, you know, coming of age at age 13 to 14 that are trying to come out of their shells and really, you know, understand what life's about. So it's a great way to watch kind of a growing of a relationship over time.
When you get a mentor, what do you get to pick? Do you have a bio that you look through and then you go, yes, I want that guy, or
no,
they pick their mentees?
What we do is we put the mentors with the mentees. And mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is we look at our mentor and say, you know, here is what we what the mentor's background interests are,
right.
You know, maybe even where they live. So if you have some scholars that may be living further north, we might pair them with someone that lives further north or vice versa, further mm-hmm. south. And so we try to find commonalities. So if a student says that they want to be a lawyer and we see lawyers over here, though we're not holding the student to that, mm-hmm. we might want to put them together so that they can have some kind of common interaction. So it just, it's really kind of trying to figure it out, and there's no really real science to it. It's more kind of an art, and we're trying to see what works. You know, and if, thankfully, for the most part, it's been successful.
And it's not fly-by mentoring. You're looking for no. people that are going to be engaged, committed time-wise to mentees, which might sound daunting to some people, but for the right person, that's the kind of relationship I imagine as a volunteer mentor. That's the kind of relationship they're looking for, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we ask our mentors to do two things. One, to invest their time, but also to invest some treasure. We ask them to provide some financial support to help support our students in the, either in their education or in the other services that we provide. But you're absolutely right. A lot of people in around Chicago, we've noticed have I mean, anyone can write a check. And right. for some folks, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think what we're seeing today is that more people want to be more involved with their investments. So as they write a check or whatever size or whatever level, they want to be involved in watching those dollars go to work, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have provided the opportunity is for mentors who like that model to be able to do that. Now, if you want to just, you know, write a check, that's okay too. We'll take that.
The bank's
right?
open.
Right. But if you want to really be involved and be connected to someone, our program is a great opportunity to do so.
What I love about it, you know, I think so many people, we have people on the show all the time mm-hmm. that talk about how segregated Chicago can be and how people don't visit other neighborhoods and they stay in their own place and how we need to do more. You know, it's time to start talking, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. And your organization is one that's doing that. It's and has done it for decades. It's like, if you really want to make a difference in this city, if you're someone in this area who's saying, we need to do a better job of reaching out to people in the community, this is what you need to do.
Agreed, and I appreciate that, because at its core, LINC was founded in this idea of interracial harmony, racial equity, equal opportunity for all, and that's what's at its core. So we try to make sure that we're able to try to do that in some way. I mean, yeah, obviously we're on the radio. You saw one of our mentors at your other program, but we have mentors across all spectrums,
yeah.
all ages, all ethnicities, and so we try to make sure that we're trying to do what we can to realize Dr. Team's dream here in Chicago.
So you have a big fundraising gala on Tuesday coming up mm-hmm. in just a couple days. It's at the Hyatt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're honoring not only scholars, but you're honoring companies that have done a great job and provide a lot of mentor resources for you. Talk a little bit about Tuesday's event.
So our event is our Dream Keepers Gala. It's on May 1st. I believe it's in the 18th year this year. Typically, we honor a particular individual who has been committed not only to the question of the issue of diversity, but committed to helping LINC Unlimited Scholars and furthering the mission of Dr. King, as we said. That's why we call it Dream Keepers,
yeah.
keeping the dream. This year, for the first time, we're actually honoring a company. We're honoring Kirkland & Ellis, the law firm here in Chicago, one largest in the world. Kirkland has made a significant commitment to our organization, LINC Unlimited Scholars, for the past 20 years. I mean, I think the number is over 30 Kirkland partners and associates over that time have mentored LINC students. And so when you see that collective commitment and their involvement in our organization, we felt this year that it would be important to honor an organization that's committed to this mission.
LINC Unlimited Scholars, we're going to talk more about it after the commercial break. And also, this is called a tease, Jonathan. Jonathan shares a name similar to his brother and his dad, and there's a really funny story behind that about why there's a John and a Jonathan, two brothers. We're going to hear that after the break on 720 WGN. WGN, Jez Merelda filling in for Matt Bubala here on this Saturday morning. Jonathan Swain, we're talking about LINC Unlimited Scholars and their big event coming up on May 1st. No, yes, Tuesday. Is that May 1st? That is May 1st.
May 1st,
yeah,
yes.
I just said that. Jonathan, you got an impressive bio. You worked as a deputy commissioner for the City of Chicago's Department of Planning and Development. I believe you were the youngest in that in any sort of position like that ever. And you're also on the is it the Board of Elections. You're a commissioner for the Board of Elections. Explain that job.
Yeah, so I'm a commissioner on the Chicago Board of Elections, and what the Board of Elections is a separate unit of government that's governed by a 3-member body appointed by the Chief Judge of the Circuit Court, in this case, Tim Evans. And our job is to oversee anything related to elections in Chicago. So that means overseeing voter registration and the registration rolls. It means overseeing the election administration, actual executing on election day, and ultimately counting the ballots. And we also oversee, through our electoral board, ballot challenges and the like. So if someone's applying to get on the ballot and a resident wants to challenge their signatures or for some reason challenge their status to be on the ballot, we also ultimately rule on those.
I'm a political junkie, so I follow election issues pretty tightly. My question is, how good are we? Because, you know, when we watch national elections, we hear of irregularities all over the place, which some things happen. I mean, there's nothing you can do about certain things. But obviously, voter registration laws, state ID laws, all over the place. How do you think we do in Chicago in making sure that people that want to vote get a chance to vote?
I think we do a pretty good job. I mean, a lot of election authorities around the country kind of look at Chicago as a model, especially when you talk about things like language accessibility. Mm-hmm. We're kind of a leader in that our ability to make sure that people of various languages who understand various languages or have first, you know, different native tongues around the city can participate in the process. I think we do a fairly good job. We're working on a project right now with Equip for Equality to make sure that our polling places are accessible. And so we're doing a review of all the polling places in the city, because, you know, a lot of these polling places are, you know, in churches, and, you know, you have church basements. And as you think about the question of can people with disabilities have access to the polls, we want to make sure that we're thoughtful about how we can make sure that everybody has access to being able to vote.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that, because a lot of polling places are in older buildings that may be before certain codes. They might be grandfathered into before accessibility codes, the ADA codes came in. That's a really interesting thing. All right, you also are the president and principal of Kimbark Beverage Shop. It's a 50-plus-year-old, second-generation retail beer and wine business in Hyde Park. And I got to say, where's the bags of booze for me?
Well, you Jonathan! Know, it's between 2 a.m. and 7 a.m. I'm prevented by law to be able to do anything like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Okay, sounds good.
Wanted our 4:30 a.m. cocktail.
Come on, Jonathan. All right, so your name is Jonathan. My name is Jonathan as well, but I go by John primarily. Mm-hmm. You don't, and why is that?
Well, because I have a father who is John Sr. and a brother who is John Jr., so I have to distinguish myself in some way.
So, and you almost became another John, right? Tell this story.
So this is the story I've been told. I mean, I'm going to say it's true because I've told it enough times. So when I was born, my father wanted to name me John the Third.
Even though you already had a brother named John.
Brother named John Jr. He kind of had that George Foreman kind of model. You know, kind of
complex
model.
Going on, yeah.
And my mother wanted to name me Tyrone. And so they had a little bit of a disagreement about that, partly because it's my brother's ability to name his child John the Third, if you so desired. He did not, but it was his ability to do that. And my father did not want my first name to be Tyrone. And so for 3 days, I didn't have a name, from what I've been told.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like our kid over there, that boy over there. Yeah, go get the boy, right?
Yeah.
And so my mother's gynecologist, a gentleman by the name of Dorval Carter, who was a renowned guy, he's since passed, but a renowned gynecologist in Chicago, came into the room and said, okay, now do you guys have a name? Because he was friends with my parents. And so do you have a name for the boy? No, we don't have a name. What's the story? He broke down the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says to them, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make his first name Jonathan to make you happy, John. And we're going to make his middle name Tyrone to make you happy, T, my mother's name.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how I got my name, Jonathan Tyrone. And so growing up, I, like you, thought John was okay to shorten it until my brother and I are 10 years apart. And so when I got in high school and he was around college, and, you know, we get phone calls at home, you know, can I speak to John? And he's talking to my friends for 15 minutes. And when they're trying to get a hold of me, I was like, I got to change something here. I got to change it.
Now, are they J-O-H-N's?
They're J-O-H-N's,
okay.
But I'm J-O-N with an A on the backside.
Right, that's how I am too. That's the only way to do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Only way to spell it.
I wish, now later now in life. So my mom named me Jonathan. It means a gift from God because I was a surprise baby. Which they're free to tell me. They told me that like at 11 years old that I was an accidental baby.
You were an accident.
Baby number two. And I went by John just because, I don't know, that's just what I went by as a kid. And but now I wish that I had invested the time and energy and gone by Jonathan. I think it's too late now. I'm 30. You don't think so?
You can do it right now.
Right, I'm Jonathan Hansen.
Absolutely.
Does that sound weird to you?
Hi, Jonathan.
Does that sound weird to you?
No, it's your name. Fine?
Roger, what do you think? Should I just go by Jonathan now? You think it's okay?
I'm okay with Jonathan. I've always called you Jonathan.
Yeah. No, have you?
Yes, I have. Because that's how...
Roll the tape.
When you first came up here...
Yeah.
And I had to train you in the newsroom many, many moons ago.
Right.
I was introduced to you as Jonathan Hansen. That's how the official writing and stuff was.
Right. And Judy would call me Jonathan.
Right. Pilak, but you casually said, you know, call me John.
Okay.
And you were okay with that. And that's fine. Mm. But it feels more right for me to call you Jonathan.
Really?
If that makes sense.
In this business, I've learned like one syllable, two syllables is great. Like John Hansen works as like a broadcast
name. And that works for in TV, actually, because you could say the name faster, especially since you have time limits there, more so than here.
Believe it or not, this interview is not about me. And I've
no, it's not.
It's about another Jonathan.
The other Jonathan.
Yeah, we'll talk to the other Jonathan. I'm sorry. Quick commercial. You want to stick around a little bit longer? Is that cool with you? All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll have the news on 720 WGN. More with Link Unlimited Scholars and Jonathan Swain coming up in just a little bit. But first, it's news time. It's 4:32. We go up to Roger Stashless Baddish.
Thank you.
Hey, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Matt Bubala. That's a fun name to say. Also another fun name to say, Jonathan Swain. Oh, forgot to turn it down. There it is. Sorry, I like that song so much. I just wanted to keep on jamming to it. Let's just do that for the last half hour. Yeah, exactly. Jonathan is on the board and also a former mentee. Did you end up doing some mentoring for Link Unlimited Scholars too?
My wife and I currently are mentors.
Oh, you are doing it while you're on the board. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So who's your mentee? You don't have to say his or her name if you don't want because they're obviously young, but... Absolutely. Someone that's interested in the sort of field that you're in?
Actually, it's a young lady who attends a Marian Catholic. And just a great young lady. I mean, our mentoring relationship has been a little different over time, partly because as we've grown and our kids have grown, the interaction between our kids and our mentees have been very different. So we had a young lady who's now graduated from, I believe it's Trinity College, who was our mentee prior to this young lady. And, you know, our kids were younger, and so she would interact with them, and it was kind of cool. She babysat for us a couple times and the like, but now...
Putting the mentee to work.
Well, you know...
Look at all I'm giving you. You come over here and watch these kids.
She enjoyed it, and we had a great relationship with her mom. Uh-huh. It was just great. And our current relationship is great as well. It's a little different because our kids are the same age as our mentee, and so that's a whole other kind of interaction. And they have... And my middle son and the young lady have a great relationship, and they, you know... communicate and text and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
What's the longest a mentor has been with your program?
Wow. So we have some a few people that have mentored six kids.
Wow.
So that's 24 years.
Oh my gosh.
Back to back.
A generation, essentially.
Effectively, yes. Right. And then we have other folks that have that I recall one story. You had someone who mentored a student a while ago. That student graduated, became successful, and they collectively mentored another student. So you have this kind of intergenerational kind of mentorship thing that's going on that's just phenomenal.
Well, you're like this poster child for this organization. but seriously, I mean, like, I imagine the people that dreamed up the organization, I'm sure back in one of their heads they said, wouldn't it be cool if one day one of these mentees, one of these kids became a mentor and then they led this program. And here you are doing that. That must mean, I mean, when you, that must give you some pride.
I'm really grateful to be able to do so. I mean, the one great thing about our organization being around 50 years, look, there's a lot of great organizations in Chicago that do a lot of great work in this space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are tons of them. But the one thing that I think sets us apart is that we've been around 50 years. And so we've had the ability to see kind of this legacy of people who've gone through the program, who've been able to give back to the program. I mean, a significant number of our former students and former scholars are mentors in the program now. You have three alums of the program that are actually on the board, and I'm chairing the board, obviously. You get to see this give back throughout time. I mean, one of our Dreamkeeper awardees some years ago was an executive of Coca-Cola, a gentleman that came through the program. So you begin to see kind of this over 50 years how, you know, one person's decision and a group of people's decision at one point in time can have rippling effects.
Yeah.
And I think we forget that sometimes, that, you know, we talk about the issue of how can I commit to making change in our city and change in our community. It's the ripple effect. You throw one pebble and it spreads out. And sometimes we may not see the impact of that pebble, but it's having an impact whether we want to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of famous mentors. You mentioned the Coca-Cola executive. How about Harold Washington?
Harold Washington was a mentor back in the 80s. And when I was a young person, when my brother was in the program, I remember the first time I ever saw Harold Washington was at a Link Unlimited event. We've had people all across the political spectrum. There's a young lady in my class who was mentored by Donald Rumsfeld, actually.
Whoa, yeah. Really? Wow. Donald Rumsfeld.
Donald Rumsfeld was a Link Unlimited mentor back in the 90s. I mean, you talk about a lot of people you can think of in the history of Chicago who have been captains of industry, folks that have led major corporations, major law firms, and the like. Many of them have participated in this program.
And you mentioned Donald Rumsfeld, and that brings up such a good point, is that we get so lost in the partisan politics of everything these days, and it feels like sometimes we got to pick sides right and left on every issue. But man, like, helping out our next generation is not a political issue. Donald Rumsfeld is as staunch a conservative as they come, worked for George W. Bush, worked for George H.W. Bush, and he was a Link mentor. And like that should be anyone that's listening out there, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, I think we want happiness, wealth, and whatever prosperity for our next generation. Anyone can help out and be a mentor.
Agreed. I mean, there's only one side when it comes to kids, and that's on behalf of the kids. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been very fortunate. Again, you know, Chicago has a lot of different kinds of people in town, you know, a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about trying, like as you said, moving the next generation along, moving the next generation forward and of African-American young people, party affiliation doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And also, I mean, we're talking about all these great people, Harold Washington, executives for Coca-Cola, but you don't necessarily have to be some top level of a business to mentor. Is that right?
Absolutely not. What I always say is that if you want to be a mentor, it requires one thing. And obviously, we want to make sure the mentors are in a position to be able to financially meet the requirement. Mm-hmm. But also, it really just requires a willingness to be vulnerable and to be transparent. And I think that's the key to mentorship in my mind. You know, when you have a mentor, or you have any relationship with someone, and you see the successes that they've reached, you really see the mountaintops. You never see the valleys that preceded the mountaintops. And I think true mentorship is really about trying to the courage to be transparent and say, hey, I may be here today, but let me tell you how I got here. Let me tell you how I, you know, nicked my knee and how I fell and, you know, when I was up and when I was down. Let me take you through the process. So as you go through this process, you understand that the adversity that you are encountering is not something that's unique to you. And guess what? There is a path forward once you reach those challenges.
You guys have a lot of people, a lot of kids that apply to be this, because obviously not only does it great for just the personal relationship and the mentoring that happens one-on-one, it's great to get them on the right track for college, to get through college. I know that's one of your big goals, is trying to get up to 85% people completing college. Mm-hmm. You guys have a great rate already, but you're trying to improve that. Mm-hmm. But man, it's like a fraternity sorority. You've got so many connections. These kids are set up for, if they take advantage of it, they're set up for their gigs out of school, they could be.
And ultimately, over in our history, that's generally how things have worked.
Yes.
I just talked to a former mentor yesterday who mentored three students, and the last student was going through, just about to graduate college, and set him up with an internship this summer. I mean, that's what we've been doing informally throughout our entire history. And what we're trying to do right now is, as we think about our next 50 years of existence, how do we formalize that process? Because when we started, obviously, high school graduation was enough to get a good job.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it became you have to get into college, and then you had to persist in college, and then you had to graduate college. And I think we're at a place now when you talk about diversity in workforces that we need to be helped provide in a systematic and structured way the our kids having the opportunities to access internships, because the more internships you get, the more likely you are to get a better paying job and a better quality job on the outside of college.
It's linkunlimited.org is the website for more information. The event is Tuesday, May 1st at the Hyatt Regency downtown. Starts at 5:30 with a silent auction. Those are always fun. 7 o'clock, you got a dinner and a whole program going on as well. So it's funny because it's ironic. Link Unlimited scholars would be wonderful if you could provide every single person that wanted a chance to do it. And I'm sure that would be a lovely goal to have. And the more the merrier. But it is a pretty rigorous process. To become a scholar, and it should be.
It is. We take our students through an application process. There's essays that are involved. There's an interview that's involved. Because again, we're asking a lot of the students. We're saying, look, we're willing to make an investment in you, but we got to make sure that you're ready to receive this investment. And so we just want to make sure that folks really clearly understand the involvement. It's not just the student involvement. The parents are intimately involved with this as well. I mean, this is really like a family relationship that's coming together where we can come together and try to change the trajectory of students over the next, 4 to 8 years of their life.
What does it look like when a mentor and a mentee get together? Like, what's happening? Is it just meetings or how does it go?
Various things. And obviously you have various levels of mentorship. And a lot of it, again, it depends on, the age difference, it can there's racial differences. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of how they meet. What we try to do is create a place where they meet, kind of like the matching ceremony, where they come together, they meet one another, and then from there we try to set up structured meeting times and a structure for them to start the relationship. Mm-hmm. So we at our orientation is what we call it. You meet your mentor, you talk about some things that are commonalities. Again, you have these freshmen that are coming in, not really sure, trying to figure this kind of thing out.
Some of them, they're young.
Some of them jump right in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we try to provide a structure that says, let's find out some commonalities and let's set the next time that we're going to meet. And then from there, it kind of moves forward. And what we attempt to do is to work with our mentors at various points throughout the relationship to have those structured touch points and touch times. Right. I mean, sometimes, it takes a little while to get going, and we want to try to facilitate that. Sometimes it comes right off the bat, but we want to keep facilitating that. But that's kind of what it looks like.
Well, yeah, because you set up the mentors for success. You train the mentors in how to be good mentors or how to adjust their skills accordingly.
Yeah, and it's something we're always working to improve because, the nature of mentoring is changing, right? It's the nature of what kids are dealing with is changing. It's the nature of what college is about. I mean, I'm a parent of a 17, 16, and an 8-year-old, but my 17 and 16-year-old are looking at colleges now, and my wife and I are like, this is radically different than when we went through college, and it wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
I don't think it was that long ago. But those kind of things. So there's changes over time. So we are always trying to provide better frameworks for our mentors to be able to succeed.
That's why you didn't bring me free booze. You need as much cash influx as you can. You got kids going to college. You're like, I'm not giving anything away for free.
Well, I got good news on my son's ACT scores this week, so I'm okay.
Ooh, that's great news. All right, we're going to wrap things up with Jonathan after the quick break here on 720 WGN. I said, oh my, what a marvelous tune. It was the best night. Never would forget how he moved. 720 WGN. Jez Merelda. I almost forgot our name there. Not our individual names, John
but
and
it's
Esmeralda.
So easy.
It is so easy. I was like, it can't
it's
be
my
that.
Name. It's pretty
your,
much.
It basically with is. A J. You got the bulk of that name, the team name.
I did.
Yeah.
That's because you're only John. If you were Jonathan, we could have worked out something.
Jonathan Swain here. We're talking about Link Unlimited Scholars going himself from a mentee to a mentor, and still a mentor, and now on the board as well, leading the board there. And the big event, obviously, on May 1st. That's gonna where does the money go? If people are coming to the gala, they're making donations. How does that money get spent on your end?
The money gets spent on tuition scholarships that we provide. I mean, the core of our programming is a college prep education. And so historically, we have provided scholarships to people going to private and parochial
schools.
You actually
give them scholarships,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we do. Because the idea was when we first started, for much of our history, it was, the Catholic schools and private schools were better than the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal was to try to meet some of that funding gap so that students can go to these schools to get the core, which is a college prep education. This year is the first year that we're embarking, or the next school year will be the first year we're really embarking in a systematic way, helping public school students, because we recognize that as the cost of private education has gone up, some of our parents, even with our help, can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so they're fighting to go through to get the kids into, you know, good college prep public schools. And so we want to make sure we support them as well.
You mentioned that pebble in the water and the ripple effect, which mm-hmm. I imagine makes a difference as more people get touched. But when you're talking about it from a donating side, or whether it's time or money, whatever you're able to give, man, return on investment in something like this, if you're looking to like make it the most bang for your buck that you're donating to really help neighborhoods, our entire city, all these communities come together. Like, I mean, education is the silver bullet to all of our problems, I feel like, in our communities, providing people with as much information and education as they can. This is like, you get such a return on any investment, whether it is time or money, with Link Unlimited Scholars.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's any small investment has a huge return at this point. It's kind of, it's supersized, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it has to do with when we're working with these young people. We work with these young people starting as freshmen in high school. And as a freshman, I mean, you have more life ahead of you than you have behind you. And you have the ability to make small incremental steps that are going to affect them long term. I mean, a college visit for a kid that never thought about college at 13 years old can have a monumental impact. Taking a young person to downtown, some of our students have never even seen downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
Coming to see downtown Chicago and being able to sit and look around like where we're sitting today, that has a monumental impact on expanding their worldview. And so I think sometimes we think as we want to give back and want to contribute, I think we always think we have to make big splashes, but that's not always what's required. It's the small things that can have the most impact in a young person's life.
You see a lot of people that I imagine have gone through the programs, have gone into great careers like yourself. I imagine a lot of them go on to be executives in high-powered things in New York and California and D.C. and politics, something like that. But I imagine a lot of the students that go through the program, become adults, still stay, obviously, in our communities and help build our communities from the ground up.
And they do. And I want to just, you know, we look at success broadly. And so success isn't always about the high power and this. I mean, you know, some of the greatest success stories we have are people that are teachers.
Yeah.
We have a lot of educators in our program. There's a young man who is a teacher at Gwendolyn Brooks High School. And, you know, he's a Link class of 1998. I mean, that's a huge success story.
That is.
Right? Of someone who said that, you know, I want to go do X, but I realized because of the investment in me, I want to pass that investment forward. So, you know, when we look at success, it's not solely about the kind of the flag on the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about, are you in a position to give back to your community in a way your community gave back to you? And that's the definition of success for us.
Remind people again about the event. It's Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, May 1st, our Dreamkeepers Gala at the Hyatt Regency. You can find more information at linkunlimited.org if you're interested in donating or supporting our organization. Again, linkunlimited.org. That's L-I-N-K unlimited.org. And if you're looking to be a mentor, if you think you have a desire to be involved with a young person's life over 4 years and really make an investment in the future leaders of our city, again, linkunlimited.org.
Jonathan, whose brother is John, your dad is John, your son is Jonathan, and you're talking to Jonathan here. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
LinkUnlimited.org. We'll wrap things up next here on 720 WGN. Wrapping up here, John and Esmeralda, and this was a really engaging conversation with Jonathan Swain.
Very much so.
And Link Unlimited Scholars. And we're just ahead of the morning show with Orion Samson. And Big O, can you hear me? Are you joining us right now?
Yes, I'm with you from WGN West, the Valley of the Sun at Scottsdale, Arizona.
Imagine it's getting hot this time of year. I wanted to ask you really quickly, Big O, we just had a great conversation about mentors and mentoring the next generation. You're a mentor to a lot of us here at WGN. Did you have a mentor, you know, in the business or anything growing up or, you know, when you were in those formative years?
Not really, because I grew up on a farm and I was busy doing chores, milking cows and all that sort of thing. In high school, as a member of the FFA, which at that time was the Future Farmers of America, but now is the FFA organization, I was a member of that. And yeah, I guess I did a little bit of mentoring with freshman students coming into the high school, but not a great deal.
Yeah, it's definitely something that certain people could use a step up and obviously along that. So you got a good show today? Got some fun stuff planned?
Got some fun stuff planned. We're going to talk farm cooperatives and their current status with the president or CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Max will be talking markets with a special guest, and I'll share some thoughts on Samuelson Says.
All right, excellent. Looking forward to that, and enjoy the nice desert heat, Esmeralda. Although this is always fun.
It's always fun.
We'll be back at it some other time. We never know when we're coming back on again.
We never know. We'll turn the Jesmeralda signal on into the night.
I'll be back on in 7 hours for the Wintrust Business Lunch coming on at noon up till White Sox baseball.